Oh, good. It's podcast time. I know you're thrilled. So am I. I'm doing this on a Sunday. Usually I do these on Saturday when I'm caffeined and awake, and now I'm just kind of hungover and not awake. Although I do have caffeine, so whatever. And so here's an interesting one. It's April 10th, and the snakes are coming out. And I mean that in two ways, because behind my house, I live in town, but I'm on the edge of town where we have a pretty large, I would say, 5-10 acre jungle, Missouri jungle, woods in my backyard. And once it starts warming up, you'll start seeing snakes every once in a while. And I hate snakes. I have that gene, or learned behavior, where a snake is the worst thing imaginable. I don't like the way they move. A lizard does not bother me. Spiders don't really bother me at all. I mean, just don't get freaked out. Even if I saw a black widow or a tarantula, I'll avoid that guy. A fucking snake, though, I don't trust him. What's he going to do? So anyway, in our backyard, we had the snakes come out. But what I've noticed is when the snakes come out, the snakes come out. And what I mean by that is, in the front yard, we have criminals that come out. And they only like it when the weather's nice. We have basically zero problem with crime and that type of idiocy when the weather is terrible. And criminals are looking for a shortcut. That's kind of the whole definition. I mean, you could always just get a job, save your money. But why do that when you can just steal from people and whatnot? And so part of that shortcut is they're not going to go do any work when it's 3 degrees below zero. I mean work as in put a gun in somebody's face. And I've already talked about that. I was mugged in my driveway in 2018, almost 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. Wow. And so, I've my tastes on how to handle crime have changed before. I was kind of, I'll admit it, I was a little anti-cop because I thought they were just there to tax people. And mostly for stuff renew your license tags, which is something I failed to do many times in life. And I got several tickets for when I was young. And I was 20. I was just kind of like, I don't care. I didn't even care. I don't know. It was really hard to explain what I was thinking at the time. Because now I pay all my bills early. And if I get a tax thing like that, then I get it paid, that day and get it shipped off. But back then I was I'll just never pay this and it'll be fine. You're going to get a ticket, you ass. So anyway, I didn't have a huge, what's the right word? I guess respect for cops, because I thought that was all they were trying to do was just extort money from me so that the government could waste it. And I still believe government wastes enormous amounts of money. I'm generally on that side of the fence because I think it's kind of hard to refute that. But, after having the gun in my face back in 2018, and who's the first, what's the first number you call? It's not blacklivesmatter.com or whatever, 555 communist. It's definitely not defund the police. The first number you call is 911. When you're absolutely fucked and you're not armed, you say, holy shit, I'm glad the cops are here. And when the cops pulled up, I was thrilled. And it was I need a hero. That's the second time I've sang this, that chorus. I think it's Holding Out for a Hero. I've learned that later in life. Whatever. So anyway, I'm a fan of the cops in general. Corruption and all, wasted money and all, tickets and all, traffic tickets and all. I'm glad they're here. I'm definitely on Team Fund the Police, and I wish we had more cops. And so this is a long way of going about saying that, first off, I'll say that historically, in the 5 or 6 years I've lived here in kind of the I wouldn't say the rough part of town, but we're not far from it. We definitely get stragglers, people that go outside of their ghetto, and we're probably the first to get hit when those people leave their area. So we're close enough to be convenient for them, even though my area is kind of lower middle class, we're just regular old broke people driving old cars and stuff. It doesn't matter, they'll come steal from us, even though we don't have much. My neighbor told me yesterday a shovel got stolen. That's the kind of things they steal, a shovel. I don't know what a shovel costs anymore. I would say $20. What are you going to get for a shovel on the black market at the pawn shop or whatever? I could kind of see stealing an iPhone or a laptop or something. But anyway, so we were walking the dog at lunchtime. We walked the dog at 1 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. Well, this Friday, we were there, let's say, we turned around, we were at our furthest distance at 110, and we come back home, and we get home at about 120, a 20-minute walk. Well, it turns out, just as we were getting home, only half a block from where we were, Some crazed maniac jumps out of a car. There's two girls. He tries to grab one of the girls and shove her into the car. Clearly a kidnapping situation. The other girl attacks the dude, starts beating on him with her purse, or I don't know. I don't think she was like a Muay Thai champion or anything. Probably more like me flailing the arms, like kind of like an idiot. But anyway, so she attacks the dude. Well, the dude didn't like that. So he lets go of girl number one, and he beats the shit out of girl number two. And the girl posted on Facebook. She said, "I was here at this spot here in Cape Girardeau, and I got my ass beat." And it looked like a Rocky, like the end of a Rocky movie. She had a black eye, face covered in blood, beat to shit. Turned out the guy got in the car and got away. And this is a bad, obviously. Again, it wasn't like he was just trying to take her purse. It wasn't a petty, "Hey, I'm going to take $300 out of your wallet or whatever, and off I go." No, he was going to kidnap this girl. They were we'll just be real. They were going to gang rape her and sell her and chain her up and fuck her till she died. And that's kind of where we're at here. And it was in broad fucking daylight. And this is the part where, like, God damn it. Like, because it's been cold and all the snakes have been in hiding, I have let my guard down a little bit. I've started to think, you know, this neighborhood's a little bit nicer than I thought. Well, it's only because the weather's a little bit worse than I thought. I hate winter. I go out and I run in it every morning during the week and walk the dog in the lunch, and I'm miserable. Like, I fucking hate it. I want it to be sunny, and, you know, window says it's 63 degrees and perfectly sunny outside right now. And I'm like, thank you. And even 63 is kind of cool, but, you know, we're getting there. So anyway, I'm thrilled to be out, and so are all the damn snakes. Me and snakes have the same taste and temperature. We'll say that. And so now that I'm happy, now the bad guys are out. And at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, like in this area where this girl almost got abducted, and she did get her ass beat, this area, there's cars coming through there all the time. There's people walking all the time. Like it's a big apartment complex area. Like the odds of you getting spotted there, I would say are fairly high. Now, you're not like a New York City busy intersection or something like that, but there's almost always at least one person out. So it's a terrible place to commit a crime if you're going to do it. This person, it was either so hopped up on dope, they didn't care, or they're so above the law, they didn't care. I mean, obviously, if you're going to kidnap a girl and fuck her to death, then you don't care about the law. And so now I'm scratching my head, and I got freaked out a couple times because, you know, one, I had the gun in my face when I got mugged a couple years ago, and then had a friend that they were trying to abduct her on a bike trail here in town a couple years ago, and she had to hide the woods to get away from him. I'm not sure how she pulled that off, but it was made the news. And so then I got, you know, kind of paranoid again. I read a book or two about self-defense, and the one thing that really stood out to me about self-defense, as everybody always talks about the gun side of it, and without a doubt, a gun is a powerful self-defense tool if you know how to handle it in the right situations and you have it on you. What do they call it? Have it on your person is what the serious people say. And yeah, if you're ready to go, it can be a great tool, but of course, it also can shoot through one wall and hit your neighbor in the face. You got to be careful about those types of things too. And in close quarters, they're not as good as people seem to think. I think people haven't thought it through too much. But what this book said was, imagine three guys kick down your back door, and they don't have guns. They just have screwdrivers. And they bust in, and then 1, 2, 3, they find you, and they stab you. Like, whoa. How do you defend yourself against three messed up dudes with screwdrivers who just kick the door down and like blitz in, like the SWAT team would do? And I'm like, I still don't have a great answer. I don't even know what I would say. And so anyway, this is kind of a mess of thinking, like, well, how am I going to defend myself? How am I going to, like, we're going to walk the dog Monday in that same area. I mean, you could say, well, go to a different area. And it's like, well, that actually is the safest spot, like, from a lots of, people around to witness crimes. And actually, I would say I thought it would be the least crime area we could go. I basically have three routes I could walk the dog. I mean, I guess you could just walk him around the house, but without living in complete fear here, let's just say we can still maintain some semblance of life like it used to be. even if it requires total ignorance. Of the three options, I can go, basically I can go left, middle, or right. Let's just say that. There's no roads behind us. There's just woods. There's a homeless girl living back there, and God knows what she would do. So anyway, we're surrounded, kind of. But I would say that's the best spot. It's the most open, and that's what makes this crime so fucking messy for me is again, it was the worst spot you could pick. And so from a get away with it standpoint. And so now I'm trying to figure out, is pepper spray enough? You know, I had my conceal and carry before, but never really used it. Never really took it seriously. But the gun could be helpful, if they try to pull some shit, basically as a deterrent. I don't really want to shoot anyone. But if somebody's like, hey, I'm going to kidnap you, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this thing, they might be like, all right, we're out of here. That would be the reason to have a gun. I don't really want to shoot them, like I said. Of course, then I have to carry it, and what if I drop it? I mean, you could get into I'm thinking about the responsibility side of it, too. Like, what is my responsibility with the gun? And I think most people who carry guns think that way. Most, not all. Obviously, you got morons with everything. But I think this is something the left doesn't quite understand, is the average gun owner is extremely careful with their gun. That's kind of what makes guns exciting, is how careful you have to be. You laser lock in when you're at the gun range or whatnot. It requires extreme focus because you're using a tool of immense power. Similar things happen, like I hear with people on motorcycles. I know with a chainsaw, for example, where, oh, hell, I mean, it could be bad. Chainsaw is a powerful tool, but very dangerous. Well, you lock in. You focus, and suddenly you're not worried about like your car bill, your car payments, or your medical bills and shit like that. All your problems go away because they have to. If you don't focus on this intently while you're carrying this tool, then holy shit, bad things happen. And so your body or your mind has a way of locking in, and that's actually quite invigorating. That's part of the draw of guns. And the people that don't understand the gun nuts just haven't experienced that. And so you should probably try it, because it really, there is something to it for sure. So anyway, like, do I carry a gun? Is pepper spray enough? Do I just carry a screwdriver? A screwdriver is not going to be a deterrent. But if a bad guy is trying to grab my wife and throw her in the car, I mean, this is where we're at now. This happened. It happened like literally like 100 feet from where we walk every single day. And we've been making this walk for right at a year now. So, I mean, we've walked this like 200 times. And actually, I walk the dog every day. So more like 340 times a year or something like that. So anyway, it's put me in a spot where I was cautious and thinking, oh, the neighborhood's looking better, because we were in a state of, let's get the hell out of this neighborhood. And the actual people that live in the neighborhood are actually nice, decent people. Like, almost everybody's got a house here is fine. We all wave, we say hi, talk about the weather and, shit like that. But we have these visitors, and the visitors are a problem. And I've heard from people that know things that, we're basically halfway between Memphis and St. Louis, give or take, and that there are gang elements from both St. Louis and Memphis coming down here and to make a few bucks and do their, and that brings a more organized element. I don't know how organized gangs are, but I think they're not just common street thugs. I think there's more to it than that. There's a hierarchy, and somebody's calling the shots and yada, yada. So, anyway, this has put me in a spot where I have to start thinking about defense again. And it's like, I don't want to be the guy that only thinks about defense. Like, I'm a big 80-20 believer. 80-20 rule says that you can do 20%. There are certain tasks where you can do 20% of the work and get 80% of the benefit, and vice versa. Once you're at 80% benefit, to get to up to 100, then you have to put in massive work. So the idea is to do just a little and get a lot, even if it doesn't make you 100% invincible. And I don't think any person that understands self-defense at all would ever say they're ever 100% safe. So I will say, though, that thank God I live in an area where no one I knew was saying defund the police. But we just don't have much funding for the police to begin with. So I'm glad we have cops. I wish we had way more. And I salute my cop comrades, or friends, not really comrades. But just thank you for being a cop. That's a hard damn job. And I wish I would have appreciated that you more. I wish the education system would have been more on the side of police. And I'm talking more like high school, early days. And You know, there was something about if you were quote-unquote college-bound in the late 90s, like I graduated high school in 98, you were supposed to be critical of all bad things in America. And you should still now. However, you're also supposed to ignore all things good. At least this is the way I felt. And there was this kind of slow epiphany over like 15, 20 years after, you know, when I went from like 20 to 30 to 40-ish. Over time, I'm starting to realize like, there's a lot in America to be really excited about. What a great place to be, despite, you know, idiot leaders, you know, mandates and inflation. And because of their mandates, there's not enough baby formula and, you know, things like that. Yes, there's a lot to fix and lots of people we wish weren't breathing, but or at least weren't working in government. But it's still a lot of great things in this country. So anyway, I'm trying to balance this out and figure out how to defend myself and what the right call is, you know, how much do I want to give up? Like, do I really want to be carrying a 45 with me everywhere I go? And the answer is maybe it's the answer. I'm struggling here because I just don't want to be that guy. Like, I just don't want to give up my whole life for self-defense. But at the same time, I may have to. You know, we were even talking about my son. He's in third grade now. He's going to be in fourth grade, you know, next year, obviously. And we're thinking maybe in fourth grade, he's at an age where he could ride his bike to school. And his bike, if he was in a hurry, he could probably get to school in 2 minutes on a bike, maybe less. And so it's like, okay, in that 2 minutes, could anything really happen? Well, now if they're kidnapping women at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, then there's nothing to stop them from grabbing kids either. In fact, it'd be easier for them. So, motherfucker, are we going to be like, we're going to take my kid's childhood away where you can't ride his bike to school? Because deep down, I want it to be like Stranger Things, where all the kids got walkie-talkies, and they're riding around on their bicycles all over town. Well, we don't have that damn town, and apparently. So the idea here is I want to get out of this town, and then because the government has imposed all this inflation on us, you know, property value, like this, my little humble home here, we bought for $81,000 6 years ago, 2016. And it's not that bad. I mean, it needs a lot of work still, and yeah, you know, yada yada yada. But it's home, and I've lived in much worse, and it could be better. But it's okay. It's home, and I got my wood shop in the back, which I love having that. I don't use it every day, but I love having it. I do use it sometimes, and I would hate to not have that. So there's a lot of good things about this house. That if I could just copy and paste this house in like a safe place, oh, I'd be so happy. The problem is, For us to buy a house just equal to this one will cost me almost double. Property value here in Missouri is almost doubled in that 6 years. And you go, well, how in the hell did that happen? And I don't know. So this is where economics comes into play. And it comes into play with everything. Like, all I want is a safe place where my son could ride his bike, or run around town, throw rocks at stuff. You know, just the stuff we did when we were kids that was good. And from my perspective, the people that have imposed this inflation on us, and that I want to make it clear, this inflation was optional. The government did not have to mail out all kinds of checks to people who didn't really need it, because we already had safety nets in place. And yes, I do believe in safety nets for people that are down on their luck, for people that were a bartender in March of 2020 when we thought Ebola was going to kill us all. Yeah, it was probably rough. Travel agencies, same thing, probably rough. So a lot of workers needed help. Well, that's why we have unemployment and whatnot. So you go use these safety nets, but instead the government pumped trillions of dollars, I think trillions, at least billions, into, yeah, it was trillions, trillions of dollars and all this free money. And even just yesterday, I saw that I got an extra, I think it was 6 months on my student loans, where I don't have to pay. And like in April of 2022, like I don't know anyone who's displaced from COVID at this point. I haven't even heard of it. We locked down for 2 weeks here in Missouri, and after that, it's been basically full speed ahead, give or take. I mean, within reason. I would say by June of 2020, we were back to normal, and we really haven't stopped, other than you do see people with masks from time to time, and you do see, like, plexiglass at Lowe's, you know, guarding the cashier, supposedly. You see that stuff every once in a while. But so this government imposed inflation now. Has made me less safe, because we would have had the money to go ahead and get out of here, or at least be close to it, or at least we could start getting serious about it so I could get my son to a safe place. And so when the government imposes inflation and people, therefore, can't afford to move, and they're just lucky that they got locked in a mortgage 6 years ago, even so, a kind of a starter house. Well, the government has made you less safe. They've taken away your ability to protect yourself, because the right move is just to get the fuck out. And so that's a strange one. And that's not something that the mandate people or the left ever want to fess up to. Like, you have imposed massive inflation on us. You have made property values skyrocket. Now, you could argue I could just sell my house and buy another one. Like, well, there's no guarantee on that. And there's, you know, it's very complicated. It makes it much harder when the money, the dollar signs are doubled, to just up and move, because then what if I have two mortgages at once? What if it takes a long time to sell it? What if there's complications with, you know, all the real estate stuff, bank stuff? I mean, there's just a lot of complications. So just because of inflation in general, because prices are higher, we got a little bit less buying power to, a lot less buying power, I should say, to take gambles like that, even to where I may have two mortgages for 6 months. I got to think about that shit. So anyway, this is a long rant about how, I guess just to take your safety seriously. There are bad guys out there. And, you know, I have pondered that with friends, like, you know, is evil even real? Are people just crazy? Well, the answer is there are people that would appear quite rational that you encounter every day. And I don't think this guy that was trying to do this kidnapping, like, I don't think he was there is no earth. There is no power. There, like, I don't know. So I'm trying to think of some acid fried guy, because acid people don't kidnap people. But you know what I'm talking about. I don't think this guy was kidnapping because, like, what's the frequency, Kenneth? What's the frequency, Kenneth? I don't think he was one of those guys. I don't know. I got a feeling he was just taking orders from Memphis and St. Louis, and he wants to move up in the company. That's what I think. So anyway, I'm terrified. I don't even know if it's safe to take my kid to walk anymore. And I don't know what to do about it. And I feel like the government, and particularly the left in this case, has made us less safe. Again, I don't think they'll see it that way, and I don't think they'll take a shred of responsibility for it, but I would like to hear what they have to say about this. I'd like to hear their retort on this. It's like, why even pose massive inflation? Oh, I'll make it clear, though, too. Republicans have opposed massive inflation, too. The CARES Act under Trump, you know, pumped all kinds of money into the economy, too. And it wasn't completely clear why. But at the time, at least, we thought we had Ebola on our hands. So it made a little bit more sense. But why we kept continuing that under Biden, I'll never know. Well, we keep on giving us all these checks and forbearances on our loans, I'll never know. So anyway, I'm going to quit ranting here. But I just wanted to let everybody know that there are bad guys out there, and you need to protect yourself. And maybe there's a way you can do it. Just do 20% effort. Just a little bit of effort can go a long way. And maybe it's just carrying pepper spray and learning how to use that correctly so you don't spray yourself. I don't know. Got any fucking ideas, let me know. I'm out.